thank you so much for joining us on Super Bracket Bros. My name is Jay, your host and your personal bracketologist. And as always, sitting across from me, I'm joined by my co-host and your gravity gun wielding embodiment of bloody vengeance, Elias Stokes. How are you doing today, Eli?
Kind of scared.
Why is that?
Well, I didn't tell you, but after the last Red Hood episode, I thought it'd be fun to put out a poll saying if I should live or die by the next episode featuring Red Hood, and the audience did not vote how I wanted them to vote. So I don't know how much time I have, but hopefully it'll be long enough to get to the end of the episode.
Wow, that's dark. That's like,
yeah, it's pretty dark.
That's proper DC universe dark. So
yeah, I'm officially applying for the DC extended universe if that still exists.
I think it does somewhere out there. So yeah,
the new edition. Watch this random guy get murked by the Joker.
That's all it is. It's just people. It's like some really bad TikTok bit where people start putting out polls to see if they should live or die.
Oh no! With the Jason Todd challenge.
The Jason Todd challenge. It's not that different from like the Thanos website that was here around Infinity War, where you could just go and it's just a 50-50 chance, like you were spared, you lived, or you died, or you got snapped away. And except this is much more personal because the people you know are voting.
Oh, this is gonna go south.
I'm really sorry that you don't have any real friends apparently. Thank you so much for having joined us on the show today. This is Super Bracket Bros. This is the podcast where we take 32 fictional characters, put them in a tournament against each other to see just who is the best of the best. And today, we are done with the Eastern. We are on to the Western bracket. We are talking a 2 versus 6 seed. We are talking Jason Todd, a.k.a. Red Hood, taking on Alex Vance from the Half-Life series. Today's going to be an very interesting episode. Very interesting episode. I think we've got some good arguments for both sides here. Red Hood, definitely a very powerful, very strong 2 seed in this tournament. Kind of had a bye on the first week, not going to lie. But I'm interested to see how he does today against some tougher competition after Alex pulled off the upset against Legion. But, of course, we could not do it alone. Our guest today comes from some of our newest podcasting friends from the Nerd Stash. We previously had him on for Price versus Alcatraz, and just in case you've forgotten, the Nerd Stash Network is a collective of just that, nerds, diving into retrospectives and modern hits in their Nerds Talk movie episodes, and then they'll take you on some great video game discussion as well with their series called Power Up and Game. Today, we are honored to be joined by Taylor Cole. How are you doing today, Taylor?
Man, I'm doing great. It's been a while since I've been on this show, but in the meantime, I've just been creating a lot of accounts on social media and just answering polls by Eli. So,
so you're doing me in.
Hey, man, I don't know what to tell you. All right, that may have been me. It may have not been me. Who's to say?
Yeah, I should have anticipated results from accounts named Eli Sucks 1, Eli Sucks 2, Death to Eli.
That's all it is. Just all the way down.
There's some guy, Tyler_Cole1 voted against me. Tyler_Cole2 voted against me. What's going on here?
Oh, man.
But Taylor, we're super happy. I mean, I'm happy. Maybe you're not happy. You want to kill Eli here, so I don't know if you're happy to be back on the show, but I guess, how are you feeling about today's episode?
I'm feeling very good about this episode for one Jason Todd. You know, you said last time Red Hood was in an installment with the Super Bracket Bros. It felt like a bye week. And a big reason why, I believe, and this is to kind of, you know, elevate my fellow podcaster Tristan Benz, it's because of Tristan's comic knowledge and just him absolutely just knowing everything there is to know about comics. And I feel like that came into play there. And I got to tell you, I hope there's some great arguments for Alex Vance, because Red Hood is, you said he's a strong two seed. That might be an understatement.
Yeah, no, a should have been a one seed might be a more accurate statement for Red Hood, but we'll see, because Alex Vance is no scrub, to be sure. But how today's episode is gonna break down is we have some Instagram poll results to go over, and then the first half of the episode we're gonna talk about these characters getting ready for the fight, and then the back half is gonna be who would win in a fight between Alex Vance and Jason Todd. But before we get into any of that today, Taylor, I want to give our audience a chance to get to know you a little bit better. And last time, I mean, part of the reason why you're here today is because you said Red Hood was your favorite fictional character of all time. So I'm curious, do you have a favorite fictional world of all time?
I have a favorite fictional world, and I do have two least favorites. And two least favorites aren't like I hate it, but I feel like they do need to be shouted out in a question like this. So going with the bad ones first, if you were to be placed in any fictional universe of all time, you don't want to go to the Witcher universe or Gotham. Yeah. For the Witcher, you can easily just die in the woods, just walking out in the woods and then become a ghost. And that's the rest of your life until a Witcher comes to kill you. And there's just so many ways for you to die other than that. And in Gotham, do I need to even explain anything? There's no explanations necessary. If you need medical help, they're going to send you to Arkham Asylum, and your only hope there is to then become a supervillain. So that's your only career path. In terms of favorite, though, I've been thinking about this all day, because on the outline here, that's what you wanted to ask. And I was like, what is my favorite? I think it's got to be the Mass Effect universe.
Oh.
It's just filled with so many lovable characters. It's filled with all these interesting worlds. A close second would kind of cheat and just throw a bunch of worlds out here. It would probably be Star Wars as a close second, but mm-hmm. Mass Effect, it hits in a certain place. It does. Just playing through all the trilogy with Shepard and just growing those relationships with your crewmates, it's amazing. And I think that world is just so great to live in.
Yeah. We're big fans of Mass Effect here, and so, I mean, it does make me quite curious what you'll think of our Instagram poll results, but were you a fan of, or did you play the Legendary Edition?
I played the Legendary Edition. I loved it. It was, for if you played Mass Effect 1 before, in like 2007, and you played it when the Legendary Edition came out, oh man, it's such an improvement. It really is. So, yeah, I love the Legendary Edition. You don't hear that too many times with video games whenever they do these remasters, but I thought that was a massive hit for BioWare.
Yeah, no, I'm looking forward to jumping into it because I never touched Mass Effect 1. You know, I heard the horror stories repeatedly from Eli of yeah. that game, and so I avoided it. But I am looking forward to jumping into it and getting the full experience, because 2 is one of my favorite games of all time.
It's a great game with a great story. The problem with it in 2007 is, and that's not the game's really fault in 2022, because it was good for its time, but you look back at it in 2022 and you're like, the combat was stiff as hell. The graphics didn't really hold up, especially compared to the other two. And the Mako. The Mako drops the whole game about 3-letter grades.
Damn.
So, and that's all improved in the Legendary Edition. So that replaying through that, it was a blast. And honestly, I find myself wanting to replay through the trilogy all the time.
Yeah, I'm just going to die on this hill and say I would much rather do the Mako than that probing minigame in Mass Effect 2. Mako is jank, but it's fun jank compared to just scrolling through a planet and pressing a button.
Yeah, but I guess the thing for me is usually with the probing stuff in Mass Effect 2, it's one of those things where I do it at the beginning of the game, and I never mess with it again. I just like set aside 30 minutes and I'm like, all right, you know what? I'm going to put on a podcast. Maybe the Super Bracket Bros.
Crank out all of these planets.
Maybe I put on some music and I just look at all these planets and just probe for minerals that I know I'm going to need for these ships. And I just call it a day afterwards.
When I played Mass Effect 2 and I had to go through those sections, I honestly didn't mind. I think it's sort of the kind of a strange comparison, but like the Animal Crossing effect where you're just doing a chore.
That is a strange comparison, yes.
And it's just, it's satisfying. You do the thing, the numbers go up. It makes it like I don't know what it was about it. I didn't mind it as much.
You want that
as
dopamine
you.
Hit when your controller vibrates?
I do. That is what I want. Yeah. Mass Effect is a fantastic shout. So yeah, no, and Star Wars has been a common, one of the more common answers. I feel like that's come up several times. So yeah, no, also a great shout. But onto those poll results, which now that I know that you're a big Mass Effect fan and that you've been doing a bit of Alex Vance studying, I'm curious what your thoughts are. Because the first poll I want to go over, and if you're curious, if you're listening to this and you want to get in on these polls, make sure to hop onto our Instagram every other Sunday and vote on all of these matchups. But first, we have Legion from Mass Effect, who took on Alex Vance. Legion coming away with 73% of the votes to Alex Vance, 27% of the votes.
I'm not trying to be biased towards just Mass Effect, and also because I'm on here for Red Hood against Alex Vance. But I do think Legion... I did appreciate what you guys were talking about with Alex Vance and her abilities as a hacker and how that would really come into play with a character like Legion. And also with Legion being
coming.
A squad. But I also, I go back to the Mass Effect 2 moments of Legion's introduction and just how badass this guy was by himself, soloing everything until he gets on your squad. So I don't know, like, I see why Alex Vance won, but personally I probably would have went Legion. But it was one of those close ones, just like we were talking about with the John Price versus Alcatraz. I could have saw that going the other way too.
Yeah, no, it was definitely close. Obviously our audience thinks in favor of Legion, but moving on to the next results here, much more definitive. We have Red Hood versus Lee Scoresby. Red Hood coming away with 93% of the votes to Lee's 7%.
Who voted for Lee?
I don't know.
That's what I want to know.
It wasn't Tristan.
No, absolutely.
I can tell you that.
Tristan, it was not Tristan.
Tristan was making accounts voting for Red Hood. He didn't need to, but he just wanted to hammer home his hatred for Lin-Manuel Miranda.
Yeah, no surprises here. We were pretty definitive in the episode. Our audience was also pretty definitive. I mean, unless Lee was literally in his air balloon and like with a rocket launcher, I don't know if you could have convinced me otherwise. But yeah, no surprises there. But let's get on to today's main topic. Let's talk about these characters, and let's start with Red Hood. As we found out last time you were on here, Taylor, you love some Red Hood, you love some Jason Todd, and you talked about, you know, that you talked about him a lot and how you came to know him and everything, so I don't think we need to dip too much back into that. But if you want to find out more, then you can head back and just listen to the first 10 minutes of that Captain Vryce versus Alcatraz episode. That would be a great place to start. But let's jump right in with Red Hood. As he enters our antechamber, he is leaving the world of the Hunger Games. You know, I say that with a question mark every single time. I should really write it down. I continue to insist on saying the old location, even though I never write it down. So Red Hood is entering the antechamber. He is, I mean, unscathed.
He's doing pretty good.
Yeah, I think he's feeling pretty good after the last fight. He is crowded by our gnomes approaching him, probably, you know, trying to... I think they're in awe of Red Hood. Like, yeah. I think he just exudes such cool,
I think it's that edgy coolness, right? Like,
oh yeah.
Yeah. He's like, it's like DC dark edgy, but actually works.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
He's not too edgy towards, oh, okay, this is, come on now, what are we doing here? It's one of those, it's kind of like Raphael and Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, to where you're like, oh, all right, this dude is awesome.
Yeah, he earned his edge.
Yeah. Yeah, by getting beat with a crowbar.
We should have done the Alex Vance one first, because one of the gnomes could, like, holding their Half-Life 2 branded crowbar. They're holding, they just got done with Alex. They had Alex sign the crowbar, and then they just, like, sidle away with the crowbar, like hoping Jason doesn't see it.
Red Hood sees it.
That would have done,
oh god,
that would have done more damage to Jason than the entire last battle.
I like imagining Red Hood walks in, sees the crowbar, and you just hear the Kill Bill music and it starts flashing red, like.
Next battle is gonna be Jason versus the crowbar. That's it.
Jason versus a crowbar.
A floating crowbar.
Maybe a little blood dripping off it just to make it look a little more intimidating.
But, and you know, if you know, hopefully our gnomes are crowbarless as they hand him the Super Bracket Bros pad, where he's going to be reviewing the tape between Alex Vance and Legion. So he's going to be reviewing that fight. That's all the knowledge he's going to get on Alex Vance. So, Taylor, I kind of want to start, I want to start with you, and kind of just broadly speaking, is how analytical is Red Hood? How seriously is he going to take this tape that he's viewing?
Now, Red Hood is, to me, he's in the Bat family, all right?
Right.
Batman trained all the Robins and Batgirl to be heroes on their own, to be there pretty much in the case that Batman wasn't. And then you think about what Batman is. He is the world's greatest detective. The detective skills are there for each member of the Bat family. For example, Tim Drake is, I believe, he got the respect of Ra's al Ghul and Batman, which is a huge honor, by the way. For Red Hood, he is extremely intelligent. He is extremely, a very well planner. So getting the tape, I think, on the last battle is a big deal. So I guess that's just a good advantage so far for Red Hood, I would say.
Yeah, pulling from the text, so to speak, I watched Under the Red Hood in preparation for the episode, and in that special, he's got like plans within plans within plans. He is very methodical with his approach to exacting his revenge on Batman and Joker. So it wouldn't surprise me seeing the tape of Alex. He's able to, you know, like what you said, Taylor, just having a, like, already scheming, already coming up with what to do. I'm sure, too, as a firearms expert, he sees Alex's gun and is instantly, how do I get that? I want that.
Intrigued, yeah.
And speaking, and this isn't getting into, like, the physical abilities too much, I think, but I wanted to talk with Tristan. He was going to be on this episode, but he could not make it. That is unfortunate. But I want to talk with Tristan because he does have a lot of knowledge with the comics. And one thing he thought was awesome was there was one time where in the comics where Red Hood, he has enough patience and control over his body that he was able to move something like an inch per hour to evade the Batmobile's motion sensors to plant a bomb on it. And it took him like 3 hours to do so. So this is the kind of man we're dealing with. Like, he does have some weaknesses. He's not perfect, but he is very well trained by some of the best to fight in the DC universe, and he is very smart because of his teachings from Batman and, again, many others.
As not being as knowledgeable about Red Hood as I am Alex, that was kind of the de facto thing I went back to. It was like, he's part of the Bat family. Like, he's smart. Like, he's gonna know, you know, he's gonna be able to absorb a lot of information from this and start to put together the schemes. Like, I have no doubt in my mind whatsoever that he's gonna be taking a look at, you know, at Alex with a very, very particular eye. The only thing that I thought of is that he seems like a character that might end up being, like, a little too cocky. you know, that might have a little overconfidence and may not take it as seriously. I don't know if that's something that you perceive at all, Taylor.
I could see that. I would see it from every piece of media I've seen Red Hood in, is he can be a bit emotional at times, and that, to me, seems to always be his downfall in everything I've seen him in. So that would be the one concern I would have. But considering we're just looking, the scenario here is he's just looking over the tape, that probably wouldn't come into play just yet.
Right, yeah, okay. Yeah, no, that's a very good point, and yeah, that's kind of what I expected. But yeah, no, I think Red Hood's going to have a, I don't know if he'll have a huge advantage in this area, but I definitely think it's interesting to think about. So let's hop on to the other side of the antechamber. Let's chat about Alex Vance for a little bit. So Taylor, I just kind of want to get your, I know you haven't, you don't have a ton of experience with the Half-Life series, but, you know, do you have any at all?
I do not really. I've never played the series. The only things I have for just research purposes is looking at some of Half-Life Alyx and looking at what the character's abilities, their skills, and what she can really do in battle. And I think you see a lot of that in Half-Life Alyx and in Half-Life 2. So it's one of those things to where she's looking at a very tech kind of skill set, and I'm very interested to see how this is going to play out for her. She is coming out of a, to me, tougher battle in this scenario, so I'm wondering if that's going to play into factor in this as well.
Yeah, no, that's definitely something that we think about too, is like the continuation of the tournament, you know, sort of, you know, we want them, you know, all of our fighters are going to be physically refreshed, you know, but yeah, no, I think the mental aspect is something that we can't look over, especially in this.
Which, what Eli was talking about, would Red Hood be a little overconfident coming out of a pretty easy battle? So that is something to look at as well, I would say.
So let's hop into the antechamber with Alyx. So she is going to be leaving the Burj Khalifa going into the antechamber, but she is encountering, I imagine the dwarves are going to be a bit more active here, getting her weapons reloaded, cleaned off, ready to go, she's going to probably need a few more bandages, let's say, than Red Hood is. And all the gnomes swarming her with all the Half-Life memorabilia, you know, the crowbars are freely out and about on this side of the antechamber.
They're wearing like VR headsets.
Yeah.
Some Joker face paint as well.
Oh no, you're telling me they swapped, they went to the wrong chambers, one with the crowbar, one with the Joker makeup.
So Alyx here is going to be receiving the tape on Red Hood versus Lee Scoresby. So Eli, we can start with you. I think, you know, just through osmosis, you know quite a bit about Alyx at this point. So, you know, what does Alyx think of the Red Hood?
I'm trying to think, because she's probably not too fazed by him, considering she is part of like this underground resistance cell against alien invaders and overlords. So she's she's definitely cut her teeth. I don't think she's too overwhelmed. That being said, I don't think anybody like Red Hood exists in her universe.
Yeah, I can pretty confidently agree with that one.
But I think Alyx has always come across as the most level-headed character in Half-Life. You know, obviously, you know, Gordon Freeman is a quiet protagonist, but
the levelest.
Yeah. But Alyx is the one with the, you know, the personality. But I think she has such a leadership quality about her. Like, I think that's why she's been so beloved through the years. For, you know, the video game community, is that she is kind of this pure character, this leader in the Half-Life world, that is like second to Gordon Freeman, and sort of like, you know, Gordon builds off of her. That's why he makes him interesting is his friendship with Alex. So I think being, you know, technologically savvy, obviously, being a smart, level-headed leader, I think she's going to review the tape I don't think she's as technical analysis as Red Hood will be, but I think she's going to grok enough of it to come up with a sound strategy.
Now, one thing that we do sometimes talk about on this show in the second round is how much did Red Hood actually reveal in his fight, though? You know? That's my main concern here for Alex, is that I don't think she's going to get to see the full breadth of Red Hood's abilities. You know, certainly I think she's going to see him very expertly take down Lee, but it's not necessarily a long fight she's viewing.
No, and also kind of the arsenal that Red Hood is carrying, because I'm sure he didn't unleash all of that either. So,
So you're saying he kept the shark repellent? Because he's a member of the Bat family, so you know he has some shark repellent.
Red Hood's going to somehow make it to the final round of the tournament and use the shark round in one final ditch attack.
And that's going to be what wins him it? Yep.
I mean, a couple episodes, we were at the Jaws beach, so like we had a chance.
Will he jump over the shark?
Yes. Guns akimbo.
Yeah,
jump.
Yeah.
But he would jump over the shark and then kill it out of revenge.
But yeah, no, I think that's an apt description, Eli. I think that she is going to, she's extremely intelligent. She is, I mean, the second most important person in the Half-Life universe. You know, she's pivotal to the human resistance. You know, she's a planner. She's a leader. I think she'll take some stuff away from this viewing. But yeah, that's the only thing that I see really holding her back is the amount of tape that she gets.
I will say I would agree with that. From what I've seen, I don't want to talk out of turn, so both of you please tell me if I am with Alex Vance. But she does seem to be a pretty good planner. She seems to be pretty level-headed, all things considered. And I think one good point, she's dealt with a lot of crazy stuff, so I don't think a guy like Red Hood is going to be like, oh, what the hell am I going to do with this?
Yeah.
And so I think that level-headedness, and that's going to be her best option in this fight, is trying to stay one step ahead of somebody who's always thinking ahead. So I think that's the best chance she's going to have.
So with all of that being said, you boys ready for this fight?
Let's do it.
Yep.
Just as a reminder, this is a fight to incapacitation, whether it be death trapping unconsciousness or forceful battlefield removal. It's important to note that we take these characters as they are, morals, ethics, and everything included, except we are going to make them fight. Now, it's also important to note that this is a continuous tournament. They know they are getting into this fight. They are going to start face-to-face in our third random tertiary location. And that random location is going to be determined by our random location generator. We have 100 locations that we have been picking from all season long. So let's roll the dice and see where we are headed today.
My wand. Look at my wand.
Be thankful it's not your neck. I don't know.
Have you boys ever heard of a young lad named Harry Potter?
Perhaps.
I have heard about this Harry Potter.
Yeah. that's good, because we are headed right underneath the most famous tree from this universe. We are headed to the Whomping Willow on Hogwarts grounds.
Are you serious, Jay? Are you serious? Wait, okay. I know, like, that location usually adds a third layer of oddness to this already odd podcast, but we have a gun-wielding spirit of vengeance from DC with a leader of a resistance cell fighting against aliens from Half-Life placed in an angry tree.
I don't really see what the problem is. Well,
it's a unique location, and I feel like I'm two for two on these here on this podcast.
Yeah, we are headed from Taylor's last location, the island from Lost, to the tree of Harry Potter. but the Whomping Willow, if you're unfamiliar, is a violent tree on the grounds of Hogwarts unleashes its fury by just, I mean, it womps. There is no better way to describe it. Like, it wants to thump you.
I love in the movie when the tree yells womp and womps everywhere. I'm proud of that joke, but also not.
I've been there.
As we open up on the grand castle of Hogwarts, the camera pans slowly down to the ground, and we see the Whomping Willow swat and crush a bird that was just minding its own business, enjoying its life as a magical tree, and then flying in from each side in magical cars. We have Alex Vance and Red Hood getting dumped on either side of this tree, with the tree standing in between them. So as they stand up, get dusted off, and take in their surroundings, how does this fight break off?
This feels like a Super Smash Brothers location.
Exactly.
That's like the whole point, so thank you.
Well, yes. But like, you, the way you described that was exactly like, oh my God, this is going to impact a lot. So, just fantastic job there. Like, I think you outdid yourself this time.
I do love the bait and switch that the camera starts on the castle and the audience is like, oh, we're going to fight at the Hogwarts, and then it slowly pans over to a tree. I want to give the fighters a bit of a, you know, an olive branch and say they see the tree hit the bird. And they're like, okay, so that's a thing. This wasn't in the tape, but okay. Jason Todd's going to think Poison Ivy somewhere.
Jason Todd, I feel like, I mean, there's some weird stuff that goes on in that Half-Life universe that, like, a living tree may not be the craziest thing. But Jason Todd's going to be like, okay, yeah, whatever. Like,
has actual experience with this situation.
Like, I think he's not going to be super phased.
Batman trained me for this.
This was training module A, double C, X, Y, 4, 1, 2, 7, 8. we got this tree. And so now, like, I mean, this is, outside of the tree, a pretty wide open space. The tree is, in fact, probably the biggest piece of cover that is around. So I guess if you're either of these characters, you look into this tree, you're looking at this area, do you take your chances out in the open? Or do you go underneath, like, slide underneath, you know, the flailing branches of the Whomping Willow to take cover next to the tree?
I think Alex is going to go under the tree. I think she's seen from the tape. That's probably what did Lee in, you know, among the many reasons was he just didn't utilize cover very well. I think she's going to try and use the tree. And I think maybe even grok that, oh, the tree is violent. Maybe I can use that against this guy. Because I think she knows she's going to be overpowered with, you know, the sheer, like, ferocity and ammunition of Red Hood. So yeah, I think she goes for the tree as just one, almost a defensive and offensive position. And I really hope the Whomping Willow hits Jason Todd and he has like a vengeance quest against it now.
After the fight is over, Jason Todd just stops, takes a lighter, and just like dumps gasoline over the Whomping Willow.
No, the Whomping Willow pulls out a crowbar.
What are the things in the Harry Potter universe that show you your worst fear? You know what I'm talking about?
The Bogles or...
What is it, a Bogart or something like that?
Bogles. Crowbar.
We can actually make that happen in this location. We can have a floating bloody crowbar.
Now, see, I know we're laughing about this, but I do feel like, I just said this a few minutes ago, but I do feel like the best chance Alex has is to throw Red Hood off his game.
Mm-hmm.
Is to keep him, you know, keep plan B, plan C, plan D. What's going to happen here? and to kind of throw him into an emotional state. So anything to do that would really be in Alex's favor.
Yeah. Also, Jay, can you remind me what armaments Alex has? I know her pistol is a special pistol.
So absolutely. So her pistol...
Grenades as well, right?
Yeah, yeah. She's got a few grenades on hand at any time. She had the biggest weapon is her pistol. This is her primary weapon. This is... I'm not even going to mince words here. It is the most powerful handgun in this tournament. it can shoot as far as any assault rifle. It's this burst fire. It's absolutely insane. You know, when you first get it in the beginning of Half-Life Alyx, it's just this pitiful pistol. But you upgrade it so much as the game goes on. It is your go-to weapon by the end. And then, which that canonically leads into Half-Life 2, where... she is a force to be reckoned with. You know, like, she can take shots from across the battlefield and absolutely, you know, take out the Combine. This pistol is, you know, it's burst fire. It's a force to be reckoned with.
Yeah, and like you said, Taylor, she's probably packing grenades also. So I can imagine she takes defensive position on the Whomping Willow, sort of baits Jason Todd to go in and... almost uses the Whomping Willow against him. I can see her doing that to more effect than Red Hood, if that makes sense. Red Hood just seems like kind of a...
Red Hood, yeah. In this fight, he's more of a... I don't like the characterization that Red Hood's just a big tank. He is closer to Batman
right.
than anybody else in terms mm-hmm. of, like, physique. Like, Batman is considered, and I'm not using the joke here, he is considered to be the peak... of male physicality. That's
yeah.
what he is.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
not the
yeah,
joke.
Yeah, oh, yeah, you're right,
he,
you're
that's
right, yeah.
legit what the character is. Red Hood is along those same lines, and he is of the same kind of build. He's the closest to the Bat Family with Bruce Wayne. So he is kind of a tank in this scenario. So he would probably want to have this be in the open as possible, but also... he's got some gear on him, man. Like, this is not going to be, oh, you throw one grenade at him and it's over. You got to be able to penetrate that armor.
Yeah, I think that's going to be, continue to be one of the biggest obstacles, not just in this fight, but in the tournament. It's just, like, the character's armor strength, especially these ones and two seeds. And Red Hood is no different. I mean, I think he's the only character that actually wears a goddamn helmet. you know, so like right there, like that's a nice advantage.
And it can deflect bullets.
Yeah, yeah.
As well, or it can take damage.
Yeah. I give Alyx credit in having played Half-Life Alyx. Like, I think that she is able to, you know, pinpoint some weak spots in the armor, go for the joints. So I don't think it's a case where Red Hood is not going to be fine just... walking towards Alyx and turning this into a melee fight. You know, like, I he's gonna have to be more tactical than it, you know, about it than that, but he's just so much more physically capable than Alyx and acrobatic. You know, like Taylor said, like, he's of the Bat Family. You know, like, he can grapple hook onto one of the Whomping Willow's arms that are rushing towards him and use it to slingshot himself, you know, like in a big arc over top of the tree and then right next to the base of it or something like that. You know, there's just a lot of ways that I think he can, you know, maneuver this battlefield that makes him kind of scary.
Yeah, especially, I haven't played Half-Life Alyx, but I'm sure you can attest to this, Jay. You don't do any jumping in that game.
No, there's a nice analog stick that gets you up, like, where you need to get up. But, yeah, no, there's not a lot of jumping in either any Half-Life game.
Yeah, and, you know, I do think initially, and this, just my opinion on it, is it would be Jason Todd going for more of an out-and-open battle, but like you said, Alyx is pretty tactical herself. She knows the deal. Be one of those things where Jason realizes this, like you said, just it's going to become a tactical kind of battle instead of let's just punch each other in the face, that kind of thing. So I think one thing especially that Alyx would not want to do is go inside the Willow, because there's one thing that happens whenever you do that. It starts to get dark down there.
Oh.
And Red Hood, operates very well in the dark.
Yeah, and not to mention just, like, being pretty tight quarters, which, I mean, like, I think about my time playing as Alex, and, like, a lot of it was spent in, like, hallways and things like that, but you're talking a lot of zombies, and zombies, I think, move 100 times slower than Red Hood.
A counterpoint, technically speaking, Red Hood is a zombie.
Yes, very true. Very true.
Alex, 10 out of 10.
That's yep. It. Very true.
Yeah, no, wow. Never once made that connection. I go back to the fact that even if Alex maintains the cover of the Whomping Willow, she gets in there without getting hit. We're also making that assumption, right? She goes in there, she's able to get some shots off, but I mean, she gets hit, she's rocking some jeans and a jacket, like, you know, she's not exactly armored up.
Yeah, and not only that, Red Hood, we just talked about it too, the gear he has, the amount of armor he has on his entire body, not just his body, like you said, he has a helmet on that can take damage as well, so it's going to take a lot to damage him. And I feel like once you lose that cover, it's kind of Red Hood's game to lose. So once you would go inside the Whomping Willow, that's where it really would get dicey. It would take a lot of whatever she can do to, I guess, maybe hack her way into any tech Jason has, or some kind of plan to get out of it.
One thing too, I'm curious what you guys' opinions are. How do you think the personalities clash? Because you do have Jason Todd, who is tactical and thoughtful, but he is, like we said, you know, pretty hot-headed. You know, that was one of the reasons, you know, Batman was so forlorn about him, was like, I wish I could have, like, you know, reeled him in a little bit better. And Alex is definitely this more calm, collected figure that everyone looks to for guidance. How do you see, like, the hot-headedness, the level-headedness in this sort of chaotic location? You know, which one how are they responding, I guess, to each other?
See, another thing too is you got to look at who Red Hood usually goes after, and that is criminals and terrible people. Him going into a fight against Alex Vance, somebody he would know at that point, like, oh, she's fighting for a noble cause. Is he holding back at all a bit? And that might be a detriment to him. And then that's a point to bring up as well. See, I'm trying to be a little reasonable here. Throw something Alex says what?
In an unreasonable scenario.
Yes, a little unreasonable.
Yeah, no, I see the problem is, like, I don't think it's anything that Alex can twist to her advantage. Like, I don't think that she is going to, I mean, unless Red Hood goes into a big monologue about about his tragic past, I honestly, like, he would have been more likely to do that against Lee. You know, like, I think that that's much more likely. I don't think he's going to reveal anything key about himself. Like,
and he would just do that in the last battle because he was bored.
Yeah, you know, like, he would just want someone to talk
to. Waste.
Like, yeah. And so, you know, I think that, yeah, like, I don't think it's anything. Yeah, even if he, like, gets knocked around in a reasonable amount by the Whomping Willow, like, which I would imagine is, like, peak frustration, like, getting, like, he's trying to run in there, you know, for a melee hit, because he can't get around the tree trunk with his weapons, and so he's, like, trying to get to her and gets knocked around a bunch. Even in that scenario, I don't think it's enough to throw him off his game. Like, he's dealt with so many supervillains that are, like, he's dealt with the Joker, you know, and I, you know, obviously,
he's,
like, he lost his shit.
He's beaten
Joker, but
Supergirl in a fight before, or at least fought toe-to-toe against her. He's very strong. He has his own version of Venom that doesn't cause him to go insane like Bane. So this is also a guy who is, like I said, his build is close to Batman. Mm-hmm. He's extremely fast. He's extremely strong. He's defeated people like Deathstroke and Batman, to whereas I believe Batman and Red Hood have even said that they've held back against each other. So who is the better fighter? Who really knows between the two? So it really is one of those things to where he is very trained for this kind of moment. And the main things that would throw him off is, I don't mean to keep bringing it up, but a crowbar.
Yeah.
Or a laughing clown. And, you know, the big tree that's throwing him around, yeah, that's not going to really piss him off too much. He'll just come back with a chainsaw later.
Yeah, exactly. Like, he'll come back with a vengeance for sure, but I don't think it's necessarily going to affect him in this fight. I think, you know, and you go to Alex's side and, like, you know, we talked about it already, but, like, you know, being part of the Resistance, being a pivotal member, a pivotal character in that universe, but she hasn't seen anything like Red Hood, whereas I think Red Hood has, like, I mean, as exceptional as that pistol is, which I will die on that hill, it's not really anything too crazy as far as the DC universe goes. So, yeah, no, I think it's a pretty tough situation for Alex. But as we wind down the discussion here, how we decide the winner here on Super Bracket Bros is each of us, all three, are going to give an out of 10 out of who we think would win. The out of 10 is just to represent our confidence in a given fighter, but whoever receives 2 out of 3 of our total votes is going to be the character that moves on in the tournament. So, Eli, we'll start with you. Do you have a decision in mind?
Yeah, I really, really, really wanted Alex to win, but I think this fight is squarely in Red Hood's favor. Now, I know we were talking about, like, comics and the movies and everything. I'm kind of going off of Under the Red Hood, the animated movie. And that one, you know, he's not, you know, he doesn't have the venom that Taylor mentioned. He doesn't have all, you know, crazy feats under his belt. But even then, in that movie, he just seems to outclass Alex in terms of just physical ability. Like you said, there's, like, no jumping in Half-Life. most of the platforming puzzles are, like, awkwardly walking onto moving platforms. And I think that just mobility really gives him an edge when he's already had the edge in terms of just the ferocious approach to the fight. I think Alex does have the gun on her side. I do think she is more of the steady planner. I think she can use the Whomping Willow to greater effect, but really, those are like grasping for straws. I'm really going to give it to Red Hood. I want to say 7 out of 10 because I give it to Alex to pull out a few more, but that's a really weak, like, that's a weak 7. So I'll give it to Red Hood 7 out of 10 times.
Taylor?
So, from everything we talked about in these scenarios, how this battle could go down, Alex Vance's best chance is the Whomping Willow, I think, to use that to her advantage to take Red Hood out. Unfortunately, I think experience, I think his fighting skill, his speed, his strength, again, we talked about his armor, it can take bullets, I believe it's bulletproof, he's fast enough, pretty much, I don't want to say to dodge bullets, but he's very fast when it comes to being just a human. I can't see any way that Alex will come away with a W, especially once you get into an open area against Red Hood or into the Whomping Willow, where that's pretty much going to be Red Hood's playground in complete darkness. So I'm going to go Red Hood 9 out of 10 to me.
Yeah, I'm actually right there with you, Taylor. As much as it hurts. Like, I do like Alex as a character a lot. I am literally wearing a Black Mesa t-shirt right now. Like, I
it's a tougher fight for Red Hood, I'll say that. Yeah, oh, yeah. Than what he had before.
It's a tougher 9 out of 10 than Lee was. Like Lee was a borderline 10 out of 10. I think this is a true probably 9, maybe 8 if you really wanted to go there, but this is a 9 out of 10 for Red Hood. I just think, you know, like, I think the physical aspect of this fight far outweighs what I think is a superior weapon in the hands of Alex. But, you know, she's just not physically, I mean, you want to talk about, like, you need, like, John Wick skills to get up close and get in those weak spots to really make those shots count. Whereas I don't think that I don't think Alex has that capability. Whereas, like, which is, it's a strange situation to be in because I'm pretty sure that we gave her the mobility advantage against Legion. And so, but like, it, in this scenario, Red Hood just outclasses both of them significantly. So I'm going Red Hood 9 out of 10 times. With that being said, Red Hood is going to be moving on in the tournament. Speaking of John Wick, he's going to be facing the winner of next week's matchup, where we are talking John Wick versus Tali Zora, another Mass Effect character. So that is bound to be a good fight. You're not going to want to miss who Red Hood's going to be going up against. I think that's going to be really interesting. But Taylor, I got to ask you, is this kind of how you expected today to break down?
Yeah, it kind of is. I do think there was some good arguments for Alex Vance and what she could do to, I guess, make the fight interesting. It's just, it's the way the bracket laid out. Like, it is what it is. Sometimes you just go against a stronger opponent and you get beat. And that's what happened here.
Eli?
Yeah, it, like you said, Taylor, there seems to be a running theme of, like, Alex could have done so well in a different section of this bracket, but just drew a terrible card with, you know, the red tornado of Red Hood. So
yeah, the 1 and 2 seed of this Western bracket are pretty terrifying. You know, between John Wick and Red Hood, you know, I think it would have been tough for anybody to get out of, and we'll see if Tali can do it next week. You know, I think that's going to be a bit of an uphill battle. I don't think that's like a spoiler to say, like, you know, that could definitely be tough, but we've got a couple of great guests for that episode that really know both of those characters. That I think it's going to make it for, make a really interesting discussion. But Taylor, thank you so much for coming on the show. I really appreciate you taking the time to bring some Red Hood love to this episode. I want to give you a chance to tell our audience a little bit more about where they can find you and how they can find out more about the Nerd Stash.
Thanks, man. This was another fantastic episode. I just, you guys do such a great job over here, I want to say. And every time I come on here, it's just such a fun experience. So it was a lot of great, it was just a fun time to come on here and talk about some Red Hood and how this hypothetical fight would play out. But as for the stuff that I do, I run a podcast network over at the Nerd Stash called the Nerd Stash Network. You talked about this before, but we have Nerds Talk Movies, where we go over various movies and television shows via retrospectives or spoiler talks. We've had episodes recently on the Batman, The Long Halloween Parts 1 and 2, Annihilation. We should have an episode up by the time this episode goes out on, I believe, by the time this episode goes out. If not, it'll be about a week later. On Daredevil Season 3, I cannot wait to talk about that. That's going to be amazing. As for the other podcasts that I do, Power Up and Game, we talk about various gaming news stories around the gaming industry. Sometimes we do fun list episodes, deep dive discussions on video games, stuff like that. We do also have another podcast coming up called Clash at the Stash, where it's not unlike what you guys do here, but it's more so like a Resident Evil franchise versus the Soulsborne franchise. Ooh. Kind of thing. Mm. Or who has a better idea to reboot the DCEU, who can come up with a Kevin Feige-esque plan and creative writing like that. So that's kind of what we got in the pipeline here, and that will be probably posting its first episode in a few months. I'm trying to get a few in the can.
Yeah, no, I'm definitely personally looking forward to those episodes coming out. It sounds right it sounds right up our alley. You know, that sounds like a lot of fun. And so yeah, if you haven't yet, definitely check out the Nerd Stash. I mean, if you're not into movies, you got video games. If you're not into video games, you got movies. If you're not into either, then you know what, just tune in for the guys. You know what, it's the dudes being dudes over there, and they're having great conversations anyways, so just give it a try.
Hey, and if you just want to hear some more Super Bracket Bros, Jay was on an episode, yes, a few months ago. Mm-hmm. About Jurassic Park, and it was an amazing episode. There was not a, we didn't talk about Jurassic Park a lot. I feel like it was a lot of tangents, let's just say that, but it was a lot of fun. as well.
Yeah, no, that was a good time. if you haven't caught that guest appearance by me, definitely go check that out, because even if you don't like Jurassic Park, there's not that much Jurassic Park. So, you know what, you'll still have a good time. But, thank you again, Taylor, for coming on. If you're looking to catch up with Super Bracket Bros, there's a couple good ways to do that. First of all, we have a Patreon. You know this if you're a longtime listener, that we have been having this going for most of this year. We recently just reached our very first goal. There are currently, at the time of this posting, 2 episodes out of me and Eli playing Portal 2. So if you are interested in those... How would you call it? Shenanigans, Eli?
trying.
Trying, yes. There's,
yeah, our trying.
There's a lot of trying in the second episode. trying of our patience, like lots of different trying. But if you are at all interested in that, you can check it out. You can subscribe to any tier. We have 3, 5, $7 tiers that you can subscribe to. Any one of those tiers is going to get you access to those videos. $3 tier, unedited access to all our unedited episodes, including this one. We're going to have a little before, a little bit after that you wouldn't get in the normal feed. And then $5 tier, we are going to be releasing monthly episodes of something, of indeterminate content, at the first of every month. So if you're interested in hearing more of us, we have a couple things. We have a couple things planned, including kind of what we did for this mid-season. Whether it's an entire bracket, whether it's a retrospective, those are the kinds of things that we're looking to do with our extra content on our Patreon. And if you're not really in a place to subscribe to a Patreon, I totally understand. What you can do is you can head to Spotify or Apple Podcasts and hit us with that 5-star review. I would genuinely appreciate it. Taking the time to do that really means a lot to me and Eli. But with all of that being said, Eli, do you have anything else for the people?
Oh, there's a crowbar salesman at my door. I'll be right back.
Thank you so much for having joined us on Super Bracket Bros. On behalf of myself, Jay, my co-host Eli, and our awesome guest today, Taylor, remember, no true hero is a one-trick pony.